Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five
on it. So Layla is off. That means we are introducing Russell Dorsey to his first ever Five on It segment. Y'all know the deal. There were questions. We must have answers. Let's get to it.
Five on Number one.
Let's say you are Cubs president Jed Hoyer. And you got to make only one major move. What is that major move you are making if you are Jed Hoyer?
I want to say trading for an Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher, but I don't think they're ready to sell yet. So, like, does that move have to happen, like, now? Or can I wait? Like, is this just before the deadline? I need clarification, Robbie. Is it before the deadline, or is it just right now, today? Can I wait some
right
of these teams
now,
out?
Right now, today, and it's only one major move. Major. Nothing minor. Major.
It has to be impact. Impact, Marshall.
Now.
All right. I guess I'm going to trade for... Mackenzie Gore? Can I get him?
No, you can't get him.
Why can't I get him?
Because the Nationals feel like they aren't that far away from being a competitive team. Mackenzie Gore was a major part of their trade of Juan Soto. And in that package, they got CJ Abrams, who's a all-star caliber shortstop, James Wood, who's a superstar, and Mackenzie Gore, who's a frontline starter to lead their rotation. They have not played well, but I don't think they're that far away from being a team that is at least looking at sniffing a wild card spot.
I mean, can he really lead them if they're out here losing double-digit games in a row?
I think they have a managerial issue, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Ooh, spicy. Okay.
Once you start losing 11 games in a row.
Especially when six of those games are back-to-back to the Rockies and the Marlins.
And then you say the whole, it's never on coaching. You got some issues.
Did I mention that they lost five of those 11 games in a row to the Marlins, swept Rockies 2 out of 3?
Not great.
It's not great. What about you?
I would, if Chris Sale is hurt, I call Peter Bendix, the GM of the Miami Marlins, and say, I'm making Sandy? You my best offer for Sandy Alcantara, and here's why. Sandy is 3 years removed from being the best pitcher in the world before he had Tommy John surgery. I have started to see glimpses of that guy again. The velocity is up. And even though the ERA over the last month has not been there, and this month it's around 2.75, half of those starts are against the
bad teams,
Pirates and the Rockies. So yes, you have to take that with a grain of salt. I still think if I'm Jed Hoyer in this situation, I say, all right, I trust Tommy Hotovy. I trust our pitching infrastructure. And we could get, if we turn this, we could get the best pitcher available at the deadline and have him for 2 years after this year.
Can I talk about the two guys I wanted to say, but I was like, y'all going to laugh me out of the building?
Okay.
Number one, Freddy Peralta.
That would never happen.
Yeah, I said you're going to laugh me out of the building.
But I don't hate that name for somebody else.
And he's not even my number one. I saved the best for last.
Okay.
Number two, Eugenio Suarez.
Gino, if the D-backs decided to sell rental third baseman, sure.
Free agent at the end of the year. Like, yeah. 25 bombs. Let's go. That solves their right-handed bat problem.
And then Matt Shaw, you just...
What's up? He can be a bench bat for all I care. What's, whatever.
Interesting. Okay.
I would rather have... Who's better, Eugenio Suarez or Matt Shaw? It's not really a question.
Gino's been one of the best power hitters in baseball since 2019. I think there are only five players that have more homers than him.
And he's gone at the end of the season. So just
A good guy to have in the room, too. Listen, really good guy to have in the room.
They told me Justin Turner was a good guy to have in the room. Maybe you replace him with a better guy to have in the room.
More productive, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Number two.
Was the series win for the White Sox over Toronto the best of their season?
Absolutely. They took 2 of 3 from a team that legitimately believes it can be a playoff team this year in the Toronto Blue Jays. And not only did that, they found a closer at the end of that series. Grant Taylor came out here smoking. George Springer gets a pinch hit single to start things off. Then he gets Dante Bichette, because he's at the top of the order now. He gets Dante Bichette to ground into a double play.
You mean Bo Bichette. Dante's his dad.
Yeah, why did I say that?
Because his dad's his dad.
Yeah, because his dad's dad. At least I didn't say Vladdy Sr. Okay, Bo Bichette, because Dante is his dad. Hitting balls really long and really far because he got to play in the thin air of Colorado. And then you get a strikeout to end the game. And in that at-bat, you hit 102 on the gun. I like that. That's the swing and miss type of stuff I've been talking about when I talk about frontline starter or high leverage reliever for the team that plays on the north side. But also, Miguel Vargas coming up with a big two-run double in that game. I like it when you beat teams that are better than you and who are playing for more than what you're playing for. It's the best win of the season, series-wise.
Yeah, best win of the season, series-wise, for the White Sox, because the Blue Jays are a real team. They are a team that is looking to go to the postseason. They've also been playing really good baseball over the last month plus. And I look at it for the White Sox and I say, okay, you weren't going to be a playoff team this year. You were going to still take some lumps after being the worst team in the history of baseball last year. But you're starting to see incremental improvements across the organization. And from a player development standpoint, you're seeing the players that you wanted to see at the big league level. They now have almost all the players that they acquired in the Garrett Crochet deal in the big leagues. The only one that's not is Braden Montgomery.
And he's coming.
So you're figuring out what you want to be, who are the players that are going to affect winning, and I think that's really important. And for the White Sox, you talk about Grant Taylor in the back. If we don't have a closer, the default should always be the guy that throws 102 miles an hour.
Agreed. Also, Braden Montgomery greater than Colson Montgomery? Are we ready to say that yet? I've been waiting to say it. Are we ready to say that now?
That's a little... Ray Montgomery's still in high A.
Yeah. That's my point.
Better? We don't have time for this.
Number three.
After seeing what the Thunder and Pacers have built, what's the soonest the Bulls are in the NBA Finals?
How much time do we have?
Not enough.
Mercy. A 10-piece at a minimum.
As in 10 months?
No, 2035.
Wow.
Do you believe in the Chicago Bulls? Because I don't.
I do not.
I see a Thunder team, 2021-22. They.
24 wins.
14th in the West, 22-50. The next year, 21-22, 24-58, 14th in the West, 22-23, 40-42, 10th in the West. Last year, 23-24. 57-25 first in the West. This year, 68-14 NBA champions, also had the best record in the NBA. They have a superstar. They've drafted well. They've developed well. The only thing the Bulls have done in that span, 11th in the East, 6th in the East, 10th in the East, 9th in the East, 9th in the East. Good luck in the play-in. That's the only thing you're good for. The Thunder got rid of your average head coach. You hired him, and you've been everything but average since. They've gotten nothing but better. They have a superstar that is still young, has not even hit his prime yet.
Did you just call Billy Donovan an average head coach?
He is. Because what have I told you since they hired him? Average. Average basketball. I believe in Sam Presti way more than I believe in Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. They have shown me nothing to build a winner, to even be the Indiana Pacers that... As we heard earlier from Trista, they haven't done this with their own draft prospects, right? They've identified talent elsewhere and said, this is how we're going to have to build this thing. And they hit on Tyrese Halliburton. That guy's a top 15 player in the NBA. Who is the Bulls' top 15 player?
Here's what I'll say.
Giddy.
It's not
Yuck.
Giddy.
Yo, get out of here. They're about to pay him way more money than he is worth because they have nothing else.
When they pay that man more than $25 million.
Yuck.
If they pay him $30 million a year.
Guacala, que asco.
Listen, Arturis Karnišovas could not be my financial advisor. You know why? Every time I look up, he would have sold all the stocks too late. Everything would have bottomed out. Because that's what he does. He gets good players, future Hall of Fame players in some cases, and waits too late to get rid of them, to get stuff back that can help you build for the future.
Patrick Williams was all I needed to see.
The drafting of, which was before him?
The whole process.
No,
the fact that you said, we haven't seen anything, but we're going to pay him.
He didn't sign an offer sheet, but they paid him the $18 million per.
Come on, man.
I'm with you. We are aligned on this. And I'm hoping that the evolution of Arturis Karnišovas is at a point where they make better decisions this time around. Whether that's trading people, whether that's who they draft. The modest pick I can get down with. The modest Buzelis pick I can get down with.
Torn Achilles confirmed for Tyrese Haliburton. We knew, but like confirmed.
This is when I say breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Breaking news here is that Tyrese Haliburton does have a torn Achilles. That's not good.
No, sad. Really sad.
That scene when he was pounding on the ground and he knew something was wrong. That
saying,
like,
I did it.
It made me want to cry. Like, just seeing that, it was so devastating.
And they showed that too many times on the broadcast.
They showed way too many times. Slow-mo of the tear far too many times. Like, I understand the first two or three times, but to continue to show it, the slow-mo, especially for an injury like that where you're seeing exactly
how
you see
happened.
It go up his leg. Like,
the only
on,
way
man.
It could have been worse is if he didn't have the long socks on.
Right.
It wasn't the tube socks. Whew. Yeah.
But also knowing this injury now, Haliburton's gone for a year. I'm not saying the Bulls have a chance of making the playoffs.
Stop,
but
Robbie.
Tatum's gone. I don't know what's happening with Joel Embiid. No Haliburton. If there was a time for the Bulls to make the playoffs, it could be this year. But
like,
I would want
like
them to
the
take
the actual
it
playoffs or the play-in? Because I don't count that.
I'm saying the actual playoffs.
Jesus. No.
I'm not saying they are going
no,
to.
No, he's
but
saying this would have been the time to position yourself to make big moves.
He's saying going into this next year.
Correct.
Yes.
No, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No. I'm saying he's saying this would be the perfect time have been in position.
He's saying that they have an opportunity with all those dudes hurt to make it to the playoffs.
Correct.
And to finish above the Celtics?
Not. Well, I'm saying like...
He's saying in a week...
Tatum's gone. Haliburton's gone. I don't know what's going to happen with Giannis. Is he going to trade? And Dame's already gone with the Achilles injury. There's a lot of injuries happening in the East. This could be a time for the Bulls to go up.
All those teams just named still have their best player is better than the Bulls' best player.
Even the Knicks with no coach. Me and Marshall could coach the Knicks and be better than the Bulls.
Just build around Giddey. That's all I got to say.
Number four.
Oh, my goodness.
Dead horse.
Bears quarterback Caleb Williams had himself a weekend. He hung out at the hip-hop music festival Summer Smash in Bridgeport. Williams appeared on stage during a performance by artists Yeet and Don Toliver and also participated in this chant by the Summer Smash crowd.
Green Bay! Green Bay! Green Bay! Green Bay! Green Bay!
Was that Love Green Bay?
It was quite the opposite of Love Green Bay. That is Caleb Williams chanting along with the Summer Smash crowd in Bridgeport over the weekend. Also at that music festival, Bulls forward Matas Buzelis. He posted a photo of himself and Caleb hanging out at the music fest. Leads me to ask you guys this question. What is another pair of current Chicago athletes that you could envision hanging out in their off time?
This is a great question, actually. And does it need to be cross sports, or can they be on
could
the same
be.
Team?
Because I feel like the same team is, makes sense.
Yeah, same team is too easy, right?
Yeah.
So is this where I say Dansby Swanson
and Grady Jarrett?
No, I was going to go with the Stars.
Oh, you're going to say his wife? What?
Well, that's an easy.
Okay,
easy one,
my bad.
Wow.
What about the Bulls didn't trade for Kevin Durant, because I was going to say Kevin Durant and Andrew Reese, but the Bulls didn't trade for him? No? Okay. Let's go with PCA and Caleb Williams. No?
Okay.
Right?
I think there's a little love that's been shown there. Caleb, when the Bears were at Wrigley Field, was seen walking out with the PCA bobblehead. Maybe there's a little, a little something there.
I like that. I was trying to think of a Bull, and then maybe Connor Bedard and PCA. They're like the same age.
Connor is like a more quiet and shy guy. PCA is not.
The issue is that there's too many teams with a lot of just like not stars or mad people.
That was where I was like,
White Sox, who you picking? Bulls, who you picking? Like, you have Angel Reese. Who else is there? Bedard, that's it.
I was going to say Dansby Swanson and Grady Jarrett, because they used to both be friends when they were down in Atlanta when Grady was playing
for the Falcons.
And okay. Dansby was playing for the Braves.
Yours was rooted in logic. Mine was rooted in wish casting.
Yeah, but PZA and Caleb is probably the one that most people would say because they're the two identifiable names.
Like, he's Hollywood. PZA, obviously, Hollywood ties.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
If we were to talk about the best bromance in Chicago, though, it has to be PZA and Seiya. Like, that's adorable, those two.
Well, the first pair that I thought of when I saw this picture and then thought of the question was PZA and Tyson Bagent, because they kind of look like twins right now after Tyson Bagent cut the long hair off.
He doesn't look like Sunshine from Remember the Titans anymore?
No, he doesn't. He does not.
He went to the Buzz?
Yes.
Everybody can't pull off the Buzz.
He's pulling it off.
Shaped head. He got all that hair.
No, that's not why.
Oh, my bad.
Just because you bald, don't put that on me.
I look great bald. That's why I'm bald. Okay. I look great. I got a nice shaped head. Everybody doesn't have a nice shaped dome.
Tyson's pulling it off.
Number five.
That was such a shot. Question number five. This one had me riled up. A question inspired by the X account Midwest vs. Everybody. If you had to pick one, which weather conditions would you go with? 95 and humid or 20 degrees and a wind chill? Which one of those are you picking?
Give me the 20 degrees and a wind chill, because I can always layer up. You guys know I walk to work every day, even when we had that cold spell. I just walk to work, walk home, I'm good. I can only take so many clothes off and it'd be appropriate. A lesson that Russ Dorsey clearly has never embraced. So I think it's 20 in the wind chill, because I can just layer up. It's fine.
It's the 20 degrees in the wind chill and it's not close. Number one, I think people always talk about what the Chicago winters are like, and it's always people that don't live here. Like, I know how to layer up. I know how to buy a parka. I know it's not going to be forever. And I know when the summer comes, it's going to be cool. Like, I don't want to walk outside at 8 a.m. and it's already 90 and humid and I'm sweating. Like, that's uncomfortable. I can go inside when it's 20 degrees with wind chill. I can layer up. Like, nah, man, I'm out on the extreme heat with the humidity.
You guys with that?
I mean, not at all. Yesterday was super hot. This weekend was super hot. Why was everybody outside? Because people like the sun. People like being outside. Oh, you're feeling too hot? Oh, go in the pool. Or for me, go in the beach. Go in the lake. 100% take the hot weather any day of the week. And you said you could wear more layers? Drink more water. Put on more sunscreen. Those are the things you can do.
I know Marshall
almost passed out at his workout class because the air conditioner broke.
Yeah, like, what are you talking? I grew up in Alabama. I know what this is. I know what it ain't. The layer up, bro.
I will say that I'm with Robbie. Maybe I'm a sick individual, but I do love the heat. I think it's an association from back in the day when we were all kids and you get that summer break. That hot weather means special things out here in these streets. Maybe that's what it is. That's what it is for me.
Ray on Demon Time. He's like, it's a special time in the streets when it gets warm.
Appropriate that that's the last question, because we're about to heat things up, because the Cubs start a 4-game set with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's back to baseball. Katie Wu, staff writer for The Athletic covering the St. Louis Cardinals and Major League Baseball, will join us on the other side as we continue with more. Rahimi and Harris, Russell Dorsey in for Layla, who has the day.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Little flare to right. That's down for a hit. Here comes Walker. Benson Stroll is up the line. Cardinals win it again. Joel Pozo, the hero, his first career walk-off.
Chip Carey on the call as the Cardinals doing big things even though they lost yesterday. They're only 4.5 games back of the NL Central leading Chicago Cubs as we return with more Raheemy and Harris. Russell Dorsey in.
Yo.
For Layla Raheemy, who has the day off, and he's not the only one talking to us right now. Katie Wu joins us, the staff writer for The Athletic, covering the St. Louis Cardinals and Major League Baseball. She joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Katie, how are you doing on this beautiful, and I'm assuming hot, Monday?
It is definitely hot. It's very muggy, and you know the sun is out because I see that once again, Russ is not really wearing a full shirt. I don't know why I'm surprised. Actually, I should have known better than this. But Russ, just so you know, I did roll my eyes when I saw you on the screen.
I know you did. For everybody out there, Katie Wu is one of my best friends in the entire world. She's also a fantastic writer and reporter for The Athletic. And Catherine, we've been talking about it all day.
Not government name, not Catherine.
That's how I know I'm in trouble.
Yeah, when I say that, she's in trouble. We've been talking about the Chicago Cubs and them leading the division, but only leading by 3.5 games. And you have a Cardinals team that, when they came into Chicago to play the White Sox, was not playing their best baseball. Swept the White Sox, have been playing well, played well over the weekend. Am I crazy that I still don't believe in the Cardinals, despite the fact that they are playing better baseball here in the middle of June?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think baseball overall has been conditioned to think that the Cardinals just aren't going to be good this year based on their public announcements of focusing on 2026 and beyond, and this being a runway, transition, development year, pick whatever word that you want to use. It doesn't help, of course, that the Cardinals made one singular offseason addition in signing Phil Maton. That's actually been a good signing for them, and then did not accomplish their number one priority in the offseason, which was trading Nolan Arenado. So there has been a lot of skepticism throughout the whole offseason and entering the year for St. Louis. And credit to the Cardinals because they simply don't care. They continue to win ball games. They're a gritty, young, resilient team. They have 19 comeback wins this year on the season. And that's really, I think, helped propel them to what I think has been a remarkable surprise given the overall sentiment of the organization. And the Cardinals never went out and tanked this year. They never publicly said that's what they wanted to do. In fact, President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, said the opposite. He said, we're trying to compete. We're just trying to do this in a different way. I think when you become accustomed to the Cardinals and the Cardinal way, all pun intended, doing certain things and all of a sudden they kind of revert and take a step back, it's natural to be skeptical. But this club has played some really good baseball. They don't have an alarming, glaring weakness. They've just been really consistent, and I think it's led them to surprise a lot of people.
Katie, I don't know you like that to call you Catherine, but I will ask this. I do know that the Cardinals keep themselves a catcher. Yvonne Herrera, though, hamstring strain, grade 2, out. This is an odd time period for me. 2 to 6 weeks. So that's a big length of time. It is enough, though, that he'll miss the first two Cardinals-Cubs series of this season. How big of a blow is that to the Cardinals, whether we're talking about what he's doing at the plate, hitting .320 with 8 bombs and 36 RBIs in 42 games, or him managing or helping to manage that pitching staff?
Yeah, it's a crazy window. I think it'd be probably more 4 to 6, but I'm no doctor. The big loss for Herrera is the offensive part of the ball, or the part of his play. He had been the Cardinals' most impactful hitter, and that says a lot when you think about guys like Brendan Donovan, old friend Wilson Contreras, swinging the bat very well. Herrera was actually hitting the ball so well that despite some defensive shortcomings, the Cardinals decided to keep him in the lineup as the everyday DH over the last 3 weeks. Pedro Pajes took over the primary catching abilities. That just goes to show how impactful that bat was. Now, being without him, Ollie Marmol called that a pretty big blow, and I would agree. The good news for the Cardinals is they don't really have one necessary big bat, right? Similar to the Cubs. The Cubs have a great offense. But they have a bunch of guys that are trending in the right direction. I'm looking at two lefties to pick up the slack for Herrera right now, and Nolan Gorman and Alec Burleson, both who Burleson makes a lot of contact. Gorman has a lot of power, so they're different hitters. But they both did a nice job of being able to produce regardless of opposing handedness. When you're looking at replacing Yvonne Herrera's bat in the heart of the order, I'm looking at one of those two guys to pick up the slack there. Jordan Walker continues to be a work in progress. Lars Nootbaar, after a pretty brutal slump for half of June, is trending in the right direction. But there's no mistaking it. Being without Herrera is a pretty big deal. They seem like they have the defensive side of the ball figured out in his absence with Pedro Pajes and Joel Pozo, but it's the bat that they need to make up for. They're going to turn to Alec Burleson and Nolan Gorman to do that.
We're with Katie Wu, staff writer for The Athletic, covering all things baseball, but the St. Louis Cardinals. And Katie, you talk about this being a transition year. I want to ask you this. Last year of John Mozeliak as the president of baseball operations, next year it's going to be Chaim Bloom taking over for him. How do the Cardinals approach the deadline in a month? Because I've been talking to people, and when people ask me about the Cardinals, like, well, it doesn't necessarily make sense that you mortgage your future if Mo is out after this year and Chaim's coming in next year, but it's going to be hard to tell what they call the best fans in baseball next month if they sell with a team that has been playing their best baseball of the year and are with an earshot of the top of the division.
Yes, Russell, you are spot on. And this is what makes the Cardinals trade deadline so interesting and so complex. Mo has gone out and said it. He wants the decision come July 31st to be difficult, whether they buy, sell, or hold, whether they focus on the future or try to compete and win now. It will all go into how the Cardinals play over the next 3 weeks heading into the All-Star break, but you're exactly right. It'd be very hard to fathom the Cardinals selling when they do look to be a competitive club, at least in the wild card. We'll see after this four-game series how they stack up in the division. And I can't anticipate the Cardinals just kind of mailing it in at the deadline. I think if the Cardinals end up selling, it's going to be players that are on expiring contracts. You look at Ryan Helsley, who I think most of us thought would have been traded over the offseason. You look at guys like Steven Matz, Eric Fetty, Phil Maton. But then on the flip side of that, those guys have all been super impactful in the Cardinals' success right now. And what kind of message are you sending to a clubhouse, especially a clubhouse full of young players that have really, I think, overperformed expectations? If you go out at the deadline and you sell off your key players and say, okay, hey, we're not going to go for it this year, despite all of you playing really well and just what has been an overall very weird situation, I think that's the wrong message to send to your clubhouse and to the fan base. So what I fear, guys, here is the Cardinals getting wrapped up in being competitive now, which, don't get me wrong, is great, but losing sight of what the ultimate end goal should be. I don't think they should deviate from their plans of being focusing on 2026, having a clean slate for Chaim Bloom to take over. But I also think if you are able to go for it, especially in the National League, which looks to be a much more competitive division than the American League, you make the moves to at least give you a better shot. It's very confusing. It's very complex. John Mozeliak will be making the trade deadline decisions this year. He is still very much in charge of the major leagues. Chaim Bloom is available for consultation, but one thing that I don't think the Cardinals want to do is create a trade that's going to impact something that Mo will no longer be here for.
Yeah.
So I think buyers or sellers, you're looking at incremental upgrades or incremental offloads so that Chaim Bloom can at least still have his clean slate, or at least that's what they should do. We will see.
Katie, I'm just curious as to what the weather conditions would be like. You said hot and humid. I mean, we're expecting balls to be flying out of St. Louis the same way I'm sure you saw they were at Wrigley this past weekend. I mean, what have those weather conditions meant in St. Louis over the past month or so?
Yeah, well, I know our radio people can't see our radio listeners, but behind me, my blinds are closed because I refuse to let any sunlight into my apartment. It is that hot, that humid, that gross outside. Hopefully with some night games, 3 out of 4 night games, there'll be some reprieve from this heat, but it is disgusting, guys. It is very hot. We saw Ellie De La Cruz over the weekend actually throw up on the field and then homered. So that, you know, we love a puke and rally king, but it has not been great conditions at all. This will be good news for the offense. Busch Stadium is a pitcher's park, as the offense knows all too well, unfortunately, here. But that's really good news for this Cubs team that continues to slug. I mean, take your pick from the stars that they have, whether it's PCA, Kyle Tucker hit one out yesterday, Ian Happ seems to be on a heater. So maybe high offense. It makes me more excited for the pitching, to be honest. I know the Cubs and the Cardinals have not set their rotation through the week, but the Cardinals will spot start Michael McGreevy, who is actually probably one of their best arms in the organization, but is not on the major league club. Different story for a different time. And Shota, one of my personal favorites to watch, should be back this week as well. So we'll see. It should be a really fun series, guys. I can't believe it's taken this long to get to it.
So Katie, just to clarify, Shota, we now know he will pitch Thursday in the series finale of that
game. Just got so much better.
So I'm just giving you an update. That's the news, that courtesy of Jesse Rogers from ESPN. I think the thing for me is looking at the standings and understanding the Cardinals, while they might be a little bit back in the Central, they're a game out of a wild card spot. The Brewers actually hold the last wild card spot. Do you feel like there's going to be more teams than not that are going to be within striking distance of at least that wild card spot a month from now? Is that your your thought as a, just someone who's monitored this division?
I think so. I don't think we can necessarily count out the Reds. Every time I see the Reds, though, they don't perform well. So I'm a little bit of a Reds hater, but that's, you know, I've seen them 12 times out of 162. So what do I know? And the Brewers, as we all know, they just find ways to hang around and win. So I'm sure that's annoying from both fan bases. But when you look at the National League wild card overall and you look at the divisions, I mean, the Phillies and Mets are neck and neck in the NL East. The NL West, a mess. I know the Diamondbacks have fallen off a little bit, and you're looking at just an incredible year from the Giants so far. What can the Padres do? What can the Dodgers do? I think it'll be such a competitive division. I'm not even looking at the American League because I think I'm all in on the National League, especially the wild card. I think all for multiple years now, we've kind of been out on the NL Central's not being competitive. Oh, they can't compete with the NL East and the NL West. And I was saying this as well, and it was true. But this year, I mean, it's the Cubs have cruised. I think it's safe to say it's been their division so far this season. But the Brewers are a second half team. The Cardinals have always been a second half team. And I think we all know better than to count out Terry Francona at this point in his career. So Cubs deserve all the credit so far. They have clearly been the superior team in the division. But from an overall postseason picture, I think the NL Central is finally going to be competitive and exciting. And I'm looking forward to it.
Katie, last thing before we let you go, the Cardinals did not move Nolan Arenado during the winter, and the first half was not what he or the Cardinals wanted. But over the last couple of weeks, he's started to hit the ball of the ballpark. That OPS is near 900 over the last 12 games. Is this real? Like, what you watch Nolan on an everyday basis, what you're seeing from him right now, do you think this is sustainable?
That's a great question, and I would hope it's sustainable for Nolan's sake, because he has really put himself in the trenches trying to get his swing right. From April to May to June, he's worked extensively with new hitting coach Brant Brown on just trying to find a way where maybe he's not, you know, slugging the way that he was when he was 25-year-old Nolan Arenado. He's 34 now, but he said he didn't want to be a one-way player. The defense looks vintage. He looks exceptional at third base again, but he felt like his offensive performance, especially when he was dropped from cleanup to sixth in the lineup, he felt like he had become a one-way player. So he's worked tirelessly to figure out his swing. He's tried different things, whether he's working on a leg kick, a little bit of a change in his front stride, and driving the ball and seeing it pull side. We all know this. We've seen Nolan Arenado play for a decade now. When he's driving the ball to the pull side consistently, that's real. That's textbook Nolan Arenado. We're seeing that a lot more over the last 2-3 weeks. So I'm inclined to believe that this is a legit change just based on the work that he's done. We'll see. We all know what happens at Busch Stadium when it gets hot. So this could be an opportune time for the Cardinals third baseman.
Nolan Arenado batting .288. .325 on base and .466 slug in the month of June. He already has 4 home runs, which is more than he had in the months of March and April or May. So he's doing a bit of a comeback renaissance type deal. Katie Wu, we thank you so much for joining us. That's Katie Wu, staff writer for The Athletic, covering the St. Louis Cardinals and Major League Baseball, and the co-host of the Cardinal Territory podcast. Thanks so much, Katie.
You got it, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye, Catherine.
All right. So Katie, Catherine, whatever you want to call her, just know she's on the cards. You should probably give her a follow.
She's great.
At Katie J. Wu, that's W-O-O, over on the artist formerly known as Twitter. When we come back, Cal Raleigh looks like an MVP, except for he plays in the same league as Aaron Judge. But Russell Dorsey's going to walk us through, as a former and maybe future MVP voter, which I'm sure he will be, just what that process is like. People who are championing one PCA might want to take a listen. That's when we come back with more Raheem and Harris right here on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Cal Raleigh, having a big year, stands in. And he drives one to deep left center. This is troubled back toward the wall. It is gone for a home run. Deep drive to left. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. And it's a two-run home run for Cal Raleigh. He hits a drive to left, going back is Hap near the wall in left field, and that's going to sail out of here. And he's batting left-handed, drives one in the air. This is trouble. Deep right center. This is going to leave the yard by quite a bit of distance.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh just went deep again because that's what he did all weekend long. Just kept going deeper and deeper. Yeah. Like the song? Yeah, you're not familiar with Biggie? Okay, my bad. This is Raheem and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla Rahimi. Are you okay, Russ?
Are you okay?
Is it wild? No, Cal Raleigh did his thing. Multiple home runs. Every time I looked up, he was hitting a home run. He's got 31 on the season now to lead the major leagues. And it's crazy because this guy's on pace to hit over 60 home runs. He's on pace to shatter the record home runs by a switch hitter, home runs by a catcher.
Yeah.
You name it, he's doing it. Not quite to Barry Bonds territory, but certainly
in been looking like Barry Bonds.
Well, yeah, he's done a great job. He's the first guy in a Mariners uniform to get 30 home runs before the break. Ken Griffey Jr., you might remember him.
It's kind of good.
He had 35. He's now got 21 home runs from the left side because he's a switch hitter.
Yeah.
That on its own would be among the league's most, trailing only Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Eugenio Suarez, and Kyle Schwarber. And then he's got 10 more batting right-handed. And this is a guy that if Aaron Judge did not exist would be a probably runaway winner of MVP.
100%.
Or runaway front runner because we're not even to the halfway point. But Russ, you voted for MVP before.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's something that takes shape over the course of a season.
Yes.
And you don't look at it maybe in the same way that fans do when they're talking about who's going to win MVP.
Absolutely. Let me start with this. Cal Raleigh is having an all-time season for a catcher. And I'm really glad. I don't know Cubs fans weren't as glad because he went, all he did was go 6-for-12 with 4 homers, 8 runs scored, 6 RBIs in the weekend. But I'm glad for people who don't often get to watch Seattle Mariners who are on the West Coast play games really late. Most people are asleep by the time their games are over. And seeing one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball. You're talking about a guy in Cal Raleigh who you read off all the stats, is an elite slugger and also the best catcher in baseball. You're talking about last year's Gold Glove winner behind the plate, but he was so good defensively, he also won the Platinum Glove. Like, this is a true both sides of the baseball type of player. It's the reason the Mariners a couple months ago gave him a 6-year, $105 million extension to be their catcher of the future. This guy is an absolute stud. What he's doing in the month of June has been amazing. And for me, when I look at the MVP race, you don't just look at it for everybody out there, for writers that vote. You don't just look at the stats and say, this guy is the MVP. Everybody has their system for how they do things. And I think for me, yes, you look at the numbers, you look at the metrics, you see what they say, right? Like, what has this guy done defensively? What has this guy done as a base runner? What are the X factors that I might think of that another writer might not think of when they're voting for MVP? And also, everybody doesn't vote for the same award every year. It changes, and you find out later in the year what award you're going to vote for. But when I've voted for MVP before, the most recent 2021, and it was a two-horse race between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Juan Soto. Both of those guys were having phenomenal years. Going into the month of August, it was like, okay, I'm going to vote for one of these two guys. And Bryce Harper, who was having a really good year at that point, the Phillies were not. They were out of playoff contention. I think they were fourth place in the NL East that year going into August. And Bryce Harper goes off in the second half of the season. Goes off to the point where the last week of the season, we were having conversations about the Phillies being a team that could potentially sneak into that final wild card spot. And I looked at that year, I looked at that season, I looked at the numbers across the board. Even though Soto and even though Fernando Tatis Jr. had better numbers than Harper did, the fact that Harper put that team on his shoulders in the second half, nearly leading them to the postseason, combined with the other things like what his numbers looked like, I said, okay, this is the reason that Bryce Harper is the National League Most Valuable Player. And other writers agree with me. Bryce won his second MVP that season. So when I'm looking at this situation this year with Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge, both guys having phenomenal years. And let's say right now, because Aaron Judge is currently hitting 367, 468 on base with a 727 slug and 27 homers. But he has come down to earth here in the month of June. Cal Raleigh, 276, 383 on base, a 659 slug, 31 homers, 45 walks as well. Let's spin it forward and say at the end of the year, Aaron Judge is hitting, he hit 340 with 55 homers. The Yankees win the AL East. And then let's say Cal Raleigh hits 275 with 55 homers, and the Mariners finishes a wild card team.
What are you doing?
I think it's a very tough conversation. If Aaron Judge was still hitting 400, like, it's not a conversation, and you say, oh, man, sorry, Cal. But the way he's played and the fact that Judge has come down to earth, you really have to think seriously about Cal Raleigh as the AL MVP. And I think in the month of June, I think he's taken a slight lead, especially with the Yankees slide in the month of June where they went through that stretch. They lost six games in a row. They weren't scoring. Aaron Judge, even though he had an OPS over 900, he's hitting about 240. I understand it's going to be very difficult. This might be the first difficult conversation for MVP we've had in a couple years, because with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge running away, there hasn't been much of a race for MVP. This year, I think there are serious conversations that we're going to have.
What would Pete Crow Armstrong have to do to be involved in a similar type conversation with Shohei Ohtani?
I think PCA, because I think PCA is going to have a say, right? Like, I think a lot of it depends on what Shohei does in terms of being on the mound, because he's returned to being a pitcher again. I don't know if he's necessarily going to have the innings bulk to say, oh, look at, you know, Shohei, like a couple of years ago, we had a sub 2 ERA, 200 strikeouts on the mound and hit 38 home runs. But PCA is going to have a serious case. Like, he's probably going to be a top three finisher in NL MVP voting.
40-40 is the bar, though. You got to get above 40-40.
If PCA is a 40-40 guy, I think you have a conversation here, right? And it's everything that we've seen says he's going to end up being a 40-40 guy, which is impressive to me, because if I look at PCA's case specifically, I was talking to Anthony Rizzo about this a couple of weeks ago, where he says Billy Williams is such an amazing player because he still to this day is the only player to hit 40 homers at Wrigley as a left-handed hitter. I know Kyle Schwarber hit 39 was the most he hit there, but he was talking about how difficult it is to barrel the ball and hit it out with the changing conditions at Wrigley. And so the fact that PCA has been able to do what he's been able to do is impressive in its own right. But I'm curious to see where PCA lands at the end of the year, where Shohei lands, and candidate X, right? Because Ketel Marte had a monster second half last year. Francisco Lindor, same thing.
Ronald Acuna. It could be anybody.
So there's a player out there that we're not talking about that is going to have a monster second half.
All right. We will talk more about the Cubs, because I don't know if you saw, but they are not running away with the NL Central, and they've got a huge week ahead of them with four against the Cardinals, three at Houston, leading the AL West. We'll talk about that and where we think this is all going to line up. Russell Dorsey in for Leila Rahimi. It's Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.